right, I want to start reading in Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the what? Sons of God. All right. Now, we've been talking on the manifesting as sons of God. And this topic is vital for these last days, because the whole earth is groaning. And what is it groaning under? It's groaning under a curse and under sin that it wasn't even designed for. So you're now having all kinds of things, tornadoes, earthquakes, so forth and so on. And this earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why the sons of God? Because we have the blessing. Amen. Remember what I said about Albert Einstein? He said something. He said the problems that we have today are not going to be able to be solved on the same level that they were created. In other words, level one problems are going to need level two solutions. And I can guarantee you the level two solutions that we're talking about are spiritual solutions. The natural cannot fix the natural. It takes the spirit to fix the natural, something on a higher order. So as we look at this, we've been talking about these manifesting the sons of God and how we were different, that we're in this world but not of this world. And Jesus prayed over in John, if you just put it up there, John chapter 17. He said he prayed in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. What we're saying is this. Once a person is born again and has accepted Jesus as their new Lord and Savior, they are no longer of this world. They're in it, but not of it. In other words, they're no longer defined by this world's boundaries. What this world can do, the church can do much more. So, now we're in this world. What are we doing now? The church is coming into this world to transform this world. What do you mean transform it? We're going to change its government. The government that's in this world now is a government that's set up by its architect, Satan. And that government now is called Babylon. Babylon is a society that tries to meet its needs without God. Once God comes in, the Babylonian system cannot afford to have the enemy or to have God in its system, because if he does, he dismantles it. It doesn't function properly. But everything contrary to the rule and justice and the laws of heaven must be brought under subjection. Now that if any nation is suffering at all, it's because the principles of the new kingdom of government have not been preached. That you and I are coming now, and we're going to show the world how to live. Amen. We're going to introduce them to a new kingdom and a new king. His name is Jesus. We are ambassadors sent by him with his name in our mouth. And we are to call that name, and when we do, demons will tremble. Those who have been holding people in authority will have to let them go, because there's a higher authority that's stepping in this land. So now you and I, knowing that we're coming into this land, we know that God has our back, so to speak. Glory to God. I like that. God's got your back. I want to let you see a couple of things here, because it's a tremendous encouragement that as you see things in here, it talks about how powerful God's people are. There was one scripture, glory to God. He talks in Psalm 91, about 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come nigh you. He talks about you and I are the apple of God's eye. He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou he shall condemn. Now, as we go forth in these things, remember that God really is on our side. He takes care of us, and he is with us and never leaves us or forsake us. We are now expanding his kingdom. Oh, I want to show you one. Let's go over to Joshua chapter 10, please. Now, this is just something to encourage you, to let you know that Jesus said, I'll never leave you or what? Or forsake you. Now, understand, even though you might look like other people, you are not like them. The real you is inside of you, and that body of yours, when you live long enough, is going back to the dust. Am I right about it? But the real you is coming out of there, and the real you is kin to Jesus. Hallelujah. And it says this, Joshua now, and Joshua is fighting a battle. And in that battle, as he's fighting it, the sun is going down, but he hasn't gotten the victory over all the enemy yet. And so now God is stepping in to help out a little bit. In verse 11, it says this, and it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Bethoron, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. And they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with a sword. I just want you to know, it's like God is saying, step back, let me have a piece of this. Hallelujah. Now, I'm only saying that to you because what I said is understanding vengeance and recompense significantly changes your behavior and your attitude. Now, what we said here is that we're talking about vengeance and recompense, and we had to find out what that is. Let's go over to Hebrews, please, and Hebrews chapter 10. Again, if you can't turn to the scriptures, just look on the board. They have it on the board. Hebrews chapter 10. Notice the Bible said, you shall know the truth, and what will happen? The truth will make you free. If you're not free, it's because you don't know the truth. Look what it said in verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall what? Judge his people. Now, what do we say vengeance and recompense is? Now, we said that the world has an idea that the word vengeance has to do with revenge, and it's not. The word vengeance, biblically, has to do with justice that comes from the heart of God, that proceeds from the love of God, and it's a necessity for punishing offenders. Justice. That's the key word. Now, what do we say recompense is? Recompense has to do with compensation. It has to do with somebody getting repaid for something that was done to them. Or we can use the word many times, you've seen it. We talk about payback or having to do with paying damages to somebody. So reparation, but reparation is not the word. Reparation is different from recompense. That's what I'm trying to get to you, because your revenge is different from vengeance. This is God doing this. I'm not talking about us getting something back. I'm talking about God getting something back. We just happen to be on God's side. And when they steal from you, they're stealing from God. Okay, so as you look at this, this is very key in here that we understand this and that we use as a model for this, we use Moses. And we said that Moses was sent down to Egypt to get Israel set free. And for him getting Israel set free, he had to understand vengeance of the Lord, not vengeance of Moses. Because the vengeance of Moses caused Moses to kill an Egyptian because he was beating one of the Israelis. But then he ran because Pharaoh's going to kill him. And he ran and left and got now tutored into the government of God, and now God told him to go back down there. Well, that was 40 years later. He got some sense by that time. That was quite a while. But now his idea has changed about who he is. And God spoke in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1. Put it up there on the board, please. In Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1, he said this. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a who? God to Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. He's going to be your mouthpiece. So notice what he's doing now. God is establishing authority. Because there's a higher authority than the natural authority in the land. There is a higher authority than the U.S. Supreme Court. There is a higher authority than the Congress of the United States. There is a higher authority than the White House. There is an authority that comes from God. Now let's go and look at that in a couple of places. Let's go at Isaiah chapter 33, please. Isaiah chapter 33. Now the devil doesn't like it because you represent the higher authority. And that the justice system of the earth is one of the number one targets of demonic abuse. And the reason why it is because it affects the laws, and the laws affect a lot of people. So now here is God, and he's speaking about who he is right here. And he says this, he says in verse 22, for the Lord is our who? Judge. The Lord is our who? Lawgiver. The Lord is our who? King. So that takes the Supreme Court, that's the Congress, and that's the White House. So if I go all the way back, come to Genesis chapter 18, please. This is Moses, Abraham now. And this is when God is telling Abraham he's going to destroy Sodom. Now understand, God is a just God. Say, God is a just God. Matter of fact, it talks about the habitation of his throne. I'll go to that scripture in just a minute. So here's verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of how much of the earth? All the earth, come on, do right. Now he's not talking about the judge of Chicago. He's not talking about the judge of Mississippi. He's not talking about the judge of the East Coast. He's not talking about the appellate courts. He's not talking about some supreme courts of the different nations. He's talking about the judge of all the earth. So there is a judge of all the earth that people can go to when they don't feel that they're being treated right in the courts of the earth. Now, this message has got to be preached, and because vengeance hadn't been preached, many times we've been victims. But those days are over now. And not only are those days over, but everything the devil stole, he's got to recompense. Boy, that's good preaching right there. Now, this has got to come to pass, because that's what's happening in the earth, is that God is coming to set up his throne. Turn to Psalm 97 real quick. So God is coming to set up his throne. I forgot to take you to Psalm 75. We'll go there next. God is setting up his throne. Where do you think he's setting up his throne at? Where do you think it's going to be eventually set up? Right down here in this earth, folks. What did I tell you to turn? Look at Psalm 97 and look at verse 1 and 2. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. And let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Now it says righteousness and judgment there. But that judgment translates what? Justice. So righteousness and justice are the foundation or habitation of his throne. So the very foundation of the throne of God is justice. God is a God of justice. Say, he's a God of justice. So there's been a lot of injustice in the land. Now let's go to Psalm chapter 75. And in Psalm chapter 75, we see here where he says, verse 6, for promotion, cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, keep going, nor from the south, verse 7, but God is the who? Judge. Keep going. He puts down one, come on, and sets up another. Well, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He didn't believe that. Nebuchadnezzar was a Babylonian ruler who thought he was all that. Y'all know what I mean by all that? Oh, he thought he, hey man, he thought his breath didn't stink, man. He knew that he was the man. So what happened? Here's God, came to him, said, I'm about to take you out because Nebuchadnezzar got too proud, got too much. I'll take you down. Well, Nebuchadnezzar didn't quite believe that. Daniel translated it for him, said, hey, he's going to take you out. And he's gonna, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream or image, and it looked like a tree that got cut off, but the stump was left there. And then so forth, he asked for interpretation. Daniel said, let me give you interpretation. You're coming out of there. Matter of fact, you're going to come out, and you're going to be like an animal. You're going to have hair grow out on your body, and you're going to be on fours like an ox, and you're going to eat grass just like an animal. Somebody say wolf man. And you're going to eat grass just like an animal. And so as he goes, they tell me in Hebrew, that's what it says. And Josephus says that. And so as a result of that, he's going to be out there eating grass. Well, he didn't quite believe that because he thought he was all that. But what did God do? Boom. Took him right out. Took him right out. Took him out. Next thing you know, he was out there. And the Bible says he will be out there till seven seasons pass over. So he had to wait 7 years. 7 years pass over. Next thing you know, it says until you acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. I'm putting it in my own words now. Until you acknowledge that Jehovah is God. And he acknowledged it that Jehovah was God. God put him back up there. I'm telling you, he'll take one down, put one up. You don't have nothing to worry about. I sure hope so and so act right. If he don't act right, we can put him down and put another one up. You see what I'm saying? Because this hasn't been preached, we just been wondering, boy, we just gonna labor under this or labor under that. Folks, you don't have to do that. The church is in charge. I'm going to say it one more time. The church is in charge. It is the most powerful institution in the world ever. Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. You can see it yourself. So, I'm saying here that the justice system of the earth is one of the main targets of demonic abuse. And the reason why it is because it controls so many people. Another example is Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, chapter 6. So Daniel, what did he do? Daniel was being raised up because of the excellent spirit that was on him. And he's being raised up in a heathen kingdom. Well, some of his co-workers got mad about him getting so high because he was a Jew, and they plotted against him. Said, we can't find anything against him except something against his God. So notice they're going after one man. All the devil is plotting against one person. Because when one person rise, other folks will see it. But anyway, so here he was. What did they do with him? They made a law. What did they make a law say? No one can pray to any God other than the king for the next 30 days. What did Daniel do? Come on now. What did he do? He went right up into his room. Come on. Open the windows. Shandarabahasat. Isn't that wonderful? Now, what you got to know is you're divinely positioned. Pharaoh could have very easily ordered Moses' head to be cut off. But did he do it? No. Can't touch you. Can't touch you. When he said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm, folks, that's more than words. He said, the angel of the Lord will encamp around about you and keep you. That's Psalm 34, verse 7. Now, my point to you is this. If you don't know this, then you're shaking your boots. And you're shaking your boots and fear comes in and connects you with the devil and now he can do something to you. But once you know who you are and who you've been sent by, a boldness will rise up inside you and say, hey, because this whole system is crooked. Now, let me help you out there. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, you have to get a leading from the Lord. In other words, you just don't act on your own accord. You got to get a leading from the Lord. They that are led by the Spirit of God, what? These are the sons of God. You got to get a leading of the Lord. David would always ask, he said, Lord, shall I go up to battle? God said, go up and win. Boom. But if God said, don't go, he's not going. There was a time that David acted like a crazy man. You all remember that? He took saliva and stuff and made it come all out the sides of his mouth and act like he had lost his mind. You remember that? I mean, he didn't fight anybody then. He acted like he lost his mind. But God was leading him that way. God led a prophet one time to cut the back out of his pants. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember he cut the back out of his pants and walked down the street? Okay, well, I'm just asking you, do you remember it? Praise God. Well, all right, now. He's not going to ask me to do that. Okay, all right, let's look at this. All right, this is talking about Satan. Now, here's the key. The world is groaning under a curse. Now, how did it get here? Through Adam and Eve's sin. Okay? So this death and all this world was never made for that. The Bible says once Cain killed Abel, the Bible says Abel's blood was crying to God from the ground. So blood does speak. And the garden, when was made, the garden was not the best. The garden was the starting place. It was the hardest place that man was going to live. I was using did an illustration more. If you're a carpenter and you build houses, you first built your first house. By the time you built your 50th house, wouldn't that be much better than the first time? Wouldn't you have learned? All right, that's all I want to know. So God created man for the blessing, to be on him, to release that blessing, to replenish or renew this earth. And it needs renewing. That blessing was supposed to renew your body. You're supposed to live 120 years. That blessing supposed to be renewing your cells just like that so that you can live 120 years. Something get wrong with your body, boom, your blessing. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Yeah. Put it up there on the board right quick. Put up there Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Just put it up there. All right, look what it says here. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Does it dwell in you?
Yes.
That Spirit, that blessing dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead, keep going, shall also quicken. That word quicken, look at some translations, restore life to your mortal body. Some part of your body start breaking down, that part, some things supposed to replenish. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why he said, physician, heal thyself. Y'all gonna get it. We're gonna talk about this blessing some, boy. We're gonna get back on that, because I can see right now. So as we look at this, the blessing is much more powerful today than it was in Eden. And in this Babylonian system has kicked in. And in Ezekiel, now let me show you where it started at. I'll just show you that. I got a little more time. Look where, you put something in Ezekiel chapter 28. Do you have that place right there? Now come back, flip back to Genesis chapter 10 real quick. I'm almost done. Genesis chapter 10. Are y'all with me so far? Genesis chapter 10. Satan is a thief. And he comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. See? Now he'd rather steal from you rather than kill you. Because he needs you to keep gathering up the things of the earth. So this Babylonian system, I want you to see it now. Look at chapter 10 and verse 6. And the sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. Come on down to verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty hunter in the earth. Nimrod was the first leader, but he was a leader of rebellion against God. Verse 9. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Before means in the Hebrew against. Wherefore, it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was what? Babel, standing for Babylon. So Babylon was the beginning of his kingdom. Babylon wants God out. Let's go back to Ezekiel now, Ezekiel chapter 28. Look at verse 15. This is talking about Satan, and his name was Lucifer. And he lost his status with God. He was a part of the music that flowed into the throne. But he lifted up himself in pride, thought he was so beautiful, and he committed high treason in heaven. He went against God, and the Bible says iniquity was found in him. Got it? Iniquity was found in him. Now, verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. God created him. Till iniquity was found in him. Got it? So iniquity was found in him. So it's interesting about what's in a person. Whatever's in a person is that which is produced out of a person. Y'all with me? So Satan is the God of what? This world. Say this world system. Where did this system come from? It came from him. He's the architect. And iniquity is in him. So a man who's got iniquity in him can't produce anything good. He's got to produce what's in him. So the system that he's produced is a system of wickedness. Now watch this. He can't stand God, because God is going to bring in holiness, righteousness, integrity, love, light. And you have never seen where darkness can take out light. Light is always stronger than darkness. Good is always stronger than evil. Come on now. Amen. I'm just telling you, love is stronger, come on, than hate. It's a more powerful force. Are you following what I'm saying? So I'm saying here that Satan has built a system, and it takes sin to keep it going. If he stops sinning in that system, Satan's system will break down. So he needs people to lie, cheat, steal, murder, sell drugs. He's got to have it. If he doesn't have it, it'll break down. The system that you see out here in this natural Babylonian system is rotten to the core. Even when it looks like it's good, it's bad. And people try to go to that system and get an education without God. So they get an education without God and come back and somebody talk to them about God. They said, oh, there's really no God. It's just all so forth and so on. That's what that system did, because it told them that they're God. It told them that because they got a PhD, they don't need to know nothing about God. And the Bible says only a fool says there is no God. So I'm not coming against education. I'm just telling you, the education dumped God out, because if God came in there, then the education system will be different than it is now. So what did the enemy do? He goes to the legal system, get a court system, have them to make a law that you can't get a Bible in a school. And the people of God, because they had no knowledge of vengeance and recompense, they went along with the program. But the days of our compromise, it's a new day. God's people are getting knowledge now. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I'm come. There's two systems, see, that you might have what? Life. And have it how? Let's go to Isaiah 61 real quick. Woo! Are y'all following what I'm saying? We are about to put Satan out of business. Where he wants us to hate somebody, we gonna love him. Where he wants us to cheat somebody, we gonna treat them honestly. Say amen to that. I'm saying everything that's in that system, it takes that to make it keep going. If you take hate out of it, it'll stop. If you take darkness out of it, it'll come to a halt. And I'm saying you and I are coming with a culture of heaven. We're coming where people would normally get back and retaliate against somebody. We just gonna love them and say this, you shouldn't have done that. I got a daddy that's gonna see that you give me my stuff back. Say amen to that. It's got to be preached, folks. Got to be preached. So what did Moses do? Let my people go, Pharaoh. Okay, I'm not going to let them go. Okay, all right. Here comes some hailstorm. Let them go, Pharaoh. I'm not going to let them go. Okay, here comes blood in all the water. Let them go, Pharaoh. All right, here comes lice. Here comes frogs. Frogs in the bathroom. Frogs in the refrigerator. Frogs in the bed. Frogs everywhere. And he came down there and said, are you ready to let him go? He said, I'll let him go tomorrow. Who wants to sleep with frogs one more night? I'm telling you, if frogs are in your house, you can get rid of them tonight. You don't have to stay with that problem one more night. He said in Luke chapter 18, avenge me of my adversary. He was talking to the unjust judge. You can make the devil get up off of your stuff tonight. Get up off of your kids tonight. Get up off of your body tonight. Get up off of your business tonight. You don't need to wait one more day and deal with no frogs. Get the curse out of your life right now. Oh, I'm preaching, brother, and you saying amen. What am I telling you? I'm telling you something. Everything that's contrary to the kingdom of God is about to be pulled under subjection.
Amen.
I don't know what the wicked got going, but it ain't going to be going much longer. Because before Jesus comes back, Satan is going to be under our feet. That's Bible, folks. Nothing can stop God. He's the judge of all the earth. And he doesn't take sides. You take his side. He's too big to take sides. Last place. Ah, Lord Jesus. So, verse 60, chapter 61, verse 8. I, the Lord, love judgment or justice, and I hate what? Robbery. Now, what is he talking about? If they owe you something, you can't go out there, take a gun, stick them up. Say, give me my stuff back. Won't happen. That's in the flesh. That's what's happening with folks now. Satan is using them because they're in the flesh. He's using certain folk to curse other folk. You got to watch that. Because he'll try to use people to steal from other folk. So I just came back from India. What happened? pastor got a hold of this message. He said, "Pastor, let me tell you what happened." He said, "They had a group who went down and forged a land deed, went to the courthouse, got an eviction for my family, and came out on Friday at 4 o'clock so we wouldn't have time to appeal all during the weekend and put us off our land, put everything out, and had a huge celebration on Saturday and invited all their friends and relatives. Look at our new land we got." And they forged the whole thing. "Pastor, we got it back. But it took 3 years with a battery of lawyers. And if we didn't have the money, we would have lost it. And people are losing their land over in this country like that every day." That's Babylon. But we know the judge. See? And the system of this world is unfair because the justice system is a main target of demonic abuse. He'll put people up there that he can influence. Then you got another court, and you can bring them before the judge of all the earth. And he'll make them do right. So what happened? And Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. Pharaoh chased him through the water. And what happened to Pharaoh? He got swallowed up. Go in Mark chapter 2 and you just see Matthew chapter 2. I'm not going to turn there. You see what happened to Herod. Herod came against the church and thought he was all that. Then he got up in a public domain and said he was God. Guess what happened? Fell down and worms ate him. Immediately. There's only one God. Watch this. Moses didn't get a battery of lawyers. Didn't need them. He had one judge. And he took him down there. I'm telling you, God can make it so that they will deliver you speedily. And he said, "Pastor, I read that, and I read in Luke 18 that woman got delivered speedily. It didn't take 3 years. Didn't take 3 months. I'm telling you, he can deliver you in 3 days. In 3 hours. Right now." The only thing I'm saying is this. There's injustice in the land. Not only happening to God's people, but it's happened to a lot of people. And the enemy is stealing. A lot of people just don't see how he's stealing because they don't have no revelation of the system. But once you get more and more discernment, you'll say, "Hey, wait a minute, that's mine.
That's right.
Hey, wait a minute, I shouldn't be paying that."
That's right.
And all of a sudden, you can call on the judge.
Yeah.
Here come the judge. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have for you. All right, before we leave.